Changing the way we change. This year, we're changing for good.
Amen. How many of you would like to change for good? Not change again, or not change just for a few weeks, but changing for good. It's kind of a double meaning in the title. It's changing for good, in other words, permanently, but it's also changing for good and changing in a positive way, because I think if we're honest, we can look back at our lives and at 2014 maybe, and we may have changed some ways for the good, but if we're honest, we probably changed some ways for the bad too. Well, we're going to start this morning this new series called Changing for Good, and I know every year in January there's probably pastors and churches all over the country that do January starting over, getting fresh, getting fit, good habits, or you know, starting over in prayer, starting over something to begin the new year. But when I was praying about this, I came across this scripture in Colossians. It's Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, that says, "And now, just as you have already accepted Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow him." Note the word continue. In other words, there's a process here. There's something that's moving forward. It's not just the one time show up, get saved, you're done, you're good, and you can hang your hat and just live the rest of your life. It's a continuation. Look at the next verse in verse 7. "Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him." And notice the word "then." In other words, there's a cause and an effect. There's something we do, and then there's a results for it. "Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and then you will overflow with thankfulness." You see, I'm convinced that the reason we have to do these change series every year, I mean, it would really be nice, and I say this to myself as well, that we didn't have to do a kind of renewal series or start over series, that we just all fixed everything all year long. And this year we can just continue to do what we're already doing because we've got it all together. But somewhere inside you, you should be laughing at that notion, because it's just absurd, because none of us have it together. That I'm convinced that our difficulty in taking one step is because in our minds, everything that needs to change did change when I got saved. For some of you who maybe not been saved long, you're just beginning this walk with God. When you got saved, you thought, you wake up the next morning expecting everything to be better. You know, like I said, like the video said, I no longer cuss. I no longer drink. I no longer get in arguments with my wife. Everything's all sunshine, roses, and rainbows, and life is great. But if we're honest, that's really not what happens. Or we feel like it all has to change at once. Like we're this one-time project for God, and he renovates us in a matter of a week, and by the time we come back next Sunday, everything's done. Everything's ready for presentation. But look what 1 Peter 2 says. 1 Peter 2 says that like newborn babies, that we're to crave pure and spiritual milk. In other words, there's to be a hunger for us as a baby. If you remember when your children were little, I do with mine, when they got hungry, it was time to eat. There was no explaining to a, you know, 0 to 6 months old, just need to be patient, we're going to be home in a few minutes. When it's time to eat, they let you know it. And when you don't listen, they let you know it a little louder. And when you don't feed them, they just keep getting louder, because there's a natural instinct in them to keep screaming until you put something in their mouth. I remember we used to try to fool our kids. We'd be stuck between driving point A to point B, you know, and you're dipping the pacifier in Coke and something sweet and trying to shove it in their mouths to make them feel like they're getting something so that they stop screaming. But there's something in them that realizes, no, that ain't going to cut it. I need more. Look what this says. It says, so that by it you may grow up. Notice these words here. Grow up in your salvation. See, there's something we need to understand, and this is the first blank in your sheet there. It says, growing with God is not a project. It's a process. Growing in God is not a project. You do not just have a room and we run in, slap down some carpet, slap some paint on the walls, throw some new furniture in, and we call it good. Because what God is doing in us and is working in us is a process. And if any of you got saved and you were perfect that instant, now I don't mean perfect as in righteous. We were made righteous through the blood of Jesus. He sees us through that blood. But if any of you just had no issues, you got saved and suddenly you had no temper, suddenly you could just pray the paint off the walls and stay here all day because you're just that perfect, then you need to share something with us. See, it's the process. Even in marriage, guys, I don't know about you, but I suspect most of you are probably like me. I became a husband the moment I said, I do. But I'm still learning now, 15 years later, how to be a husband. Oh, come on, y'all are lying. There either should be women saying amen or husbands saying that's me. One of the two. Because the truth is, you stand at the altar, you said, I do, becoming a husband or becoming a wife. And the fact of the matter is, I had no clue what I was doing. I was raised in a home with three boys. I didn't know all the stuff that goes along with girls. The stuff I saw was from dating in high school. And when you're in high school and you're dating, you see all the good stuff. You don't see everything else. You don't see the fact that my wife's next door this morning, so y'all don't tell her I said this, but I live with three blondes. And I'm not saying that on an intelligence level, so if you thought that, shame on you. My wife's way smarter than me, and I'll tell everybody that. I live with three blondes, and y'all shed. It amazes me. I can travel. This is no joke. I left Sylvania, drove to Savannah, got on an airplane, went to Texas to do a wedding, was in Texas for 3 days, and on the fourth day, I went to get dressed to come home, and I went to the gate to check in, and I went through check-in and security and went to the gate to actually go onto the airplane, and the stewardess lady poked me on the shoulder, and she went, and she pulled a hair that was woven, it was woven through my shirt. I felt like a monkey, like she cleaning me. And then she stopped and looked at me again, and she went and pulled another one. And people behind me in line are like, are y'all getting frisky, or what's this lady doing? And she keeps pulling hair. 4 days later, I was still pulling blonde hairs out of my clothes. And I told Melanie, I said, I had no idea. I don't know how y'all have any hair left. Between what's in the floor and what's on their brushes and what's woven through my underwear, how do y'all have anything left? So as a husband, this was a process I had to learn. I had no idea the paraphernalia y'all need to survive. The gels and the powders and the makeups and the. And from what I understand, not going into any of y'all's bathrooms, my wife's very, very light on that stuff. She doesn't have a lot of that stuff. So this whole process to me of being a husband was just that. Just because somebody called me a husband when the moment I said I do, I had to learn. I've had to learn how to work with Melanie through times where before we had Emma, we lost two babies. I had to figure out that as a man, my instinct is to just go, let's move forward. But for her as a woman and as a mother, that was very different. I was clueless. I had the football attitude. Get yourself up, tighten your chin strap back up, and let's keep going. But that's not the way the process works. So as a husband, I had to figure this out. And I think the reason we keep coming back from year after year, going back to January to start over and try to fix it this time, is because we don't see what God's doing in us as a process. We see it as a project. This project that has a very short, quick completion. I'm in, I'm out, I'm done. And it's just not the way it works. You see, that's why I think coming up, starting next week, our 21 days of prayer is so important. Because you begin to deal with the process when you begin to take away from your body flesh. I mean, your flesh, you begin to take away food or video games or TV or your smartphone, or for some of you, you're not going to know what to do if you can't tell everybody about your business on Facebook. It's just second nature. Our flesh just wants to go, 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 go. But you want to begin to see the process. Come through 21 days of prayer. Just decide now that you're going to commit to something and stick through it. And you'll begin to see the process, because when you shed all of these distractions, when you go into a time to just pray and talk to God, the amazing thing is you'll hear Him. You'll begin to sense God and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of you when you begin to shed these things and begin to go through and let God work a process in you. Look what Paul said, and Paul was talking about the teachers and preachers and the fivefold ministry, basically church leaders. But in Ephesians 4:13, look what he said. He said, "This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge in God's knowledge of God's Son that we will be now mature." So in other words, this is going to keep going. We'll be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. You see, the world says there's a standard, and the way we meet that standard is to lower the bar. It's natural society. A good picture of that is just look at movies. Look at TV. I remember, I won't even begin to say the word, but I was watching primetime TV between 8 and 10, and a commercial came on, and then the commercial was risky, but then we were flipping through the channels, and the TV show, I didn't know what it was, and we were just flipping through, and they came on and said a word that was not bleeped, their mouth wasn't blurred, but describing a female body part that was so vulgar, I just froze. And it just, because what's happened is our standard begins to be lowered, and the standards of the TV and the people that control the FCC and all that, they just begin to lower it down, and standards begin to change. But see, the Bible says that we will be measured up to the full and complete standard of Christ. He's not going to lower the standard for us, because He's already given us everything to answer the standard. But see, as humans, and especially today, we don't like the process. We want it changed now, we want it changed quick, and we want to move on. We want our lives to get a quick paint job, and like I said, and carpet, and be done. I had a man tell me one time that I had done a series a couple years ago on marriage, and the man came up to me and said, "Your teaching doesn't work." I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "I was here for your message on marriage. I've cleaned the dishes for 3 weeks straight, and nothing's changed." I was like, "It doesn't sound like you heard me." He's, "What do you mean?" I said, "I'm asking you not to change for 3 weeks. I'm asking you to change forever. You can't just do I've quit doing the dishes because nothing changed. She still just rides me and harps on me." Well, try doing them for 3 years, see what happens. Try to change. See, what we wanted was, we wanted a quick pill. If you've been in counseling, you counsel with me, you've heard me say this before. I always wish I could make the magic little pill. The little pill that I could give you when you just walk in the door. I don't need to counsel you. Just here, take this, and everything will be perfect. But that's just not the way it is. We even want counseling. We want to come into counseling, and we don't want to be counseled and walk through a process. We want to come in to be counseled and be fixed, like you got your tires out of alignment or something. Like you're a car. You know, we just need to adjust this and adjust that, and then send you out the door, and you'll be fine. But see, this it's a process. I had somebody tell me another time that he says, "Preacher, you know, tithing doesn't work." And I said, "Okay." I said, "How do you know that?" And this was a female in this case. She said, "I tithed last week, and I'm still broke." I said, "You tithed last week?" "Yeah, I tithed one time. Last week I gave God 10%, and I'm still broke." Well, see, what did she want? She wanted tithing not to be... Tithing is a process. Tithing is something that is so natural to me. It's because I can remember being a child. If I got a dollar, my dad changed it into coins and made me give a dime to God. Because it was a process of him teaching me that you give God his first. It's why we do 21 days of prayer at the beginning of the year and give God the first chunk of our year, because we want to give God the first. We want to give him the best. See, we treat God like a magic exercise machine. Whether you got a rolling bar, or you can get the magic bouncy ball. I saw one on TV the other day. This big giant ball that this lady was just sitting on. She was just bouncing. She's going to bounce her way to perfect health. For $69.95, that big giant rubber ball could be yours. You see, we treat God that way, that he's like this magic exercise machine that we can go from fat to flat in 14 days. You can just bounce yourself to happiness. So because we treat God that way, here's what they do. They sell you a project. In this short amount of time, if you do this, you can be done. If you drink this nasty stuff for the next so many days, your life will never be the same. And it may be true. I'm not saying it's not. But what they sell you on is the fact that it's a project, not a process. That the process of changing long term, changing habits, changing the way you think, changing the way you act, takes some time. Takes you doing some things over and over and over and letting things change over the process of time, not just solely, just an instantly. But if they sold you, if they gave you a new exercise machine and they said to you, you're going to pay through the nose for this. It's just going to be insane. And it's going to take a year. You got to do the same thing every day for a year. How many machines would they sell? Zero. I've not seen one advertisement for the new exercise machine or program that says you're going to do this every day for a year before you ever see any results. Why? Because we don't want a process. We want a quick in and out, a project. I can see that I'm clean, I'm done, and I'm moving on. You see, a lot of us say, well, I thought I got saved, when I got saved that I won't have temptations anymore. And some of you thought, well, now that I am saved and I have temptations, well, something must be wrong because I still have temptations. I'm not supposed to have this anymore. I'm not supposed to have these lustful thoughts. I'm not supposed to have this anger. I'm not, because I got saved. You see, I thought real Christians never had those thoughts or those feelings. You see, the problem is we have a great misunderstanding of what it means to be saved, a great misunderstanding of salvation. Now, hear me on this, and I'm going to explain it to you. And I know for some of us this may be very foundational, but I think it's key for us as we move on in learning to change for good. My salvation is past, present, and future. Salvation is past, present, and future. Now, let me be very clear. I'm not talking about your eternal security. The Bible says, as Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess it with your mouth and you believe it in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you are saved. That's your eternal security. You're going to heaven. You're going to spend eternity with the Father. But the Bible is very clear that you can say this: I have been saved. I have been saved. Ephesians 2:8 says that for it is by grace that you what? Have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, but it is a gift from God. In other words, there's nothing else you can do about it. Now, is this past, present, or future? Man, y'all did as bad as I did in grammar. It's past. I'll help you out. Have been saved. It's past. You can also say, I am still being saved. Still being saved. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. In other words, this great, magnificent body you see before you here is falling apart. It's sagging and dropping and drooping and aching, and that's part of life as we age. You can fight it, you can nip it, tuck it, whatever you want to do, but eventually this body's going to fall apart. No matter what you try to preserve it with, it's just going to happen. But it said, we do not lose heart, that we're outwardly wasting away, yet inwardly we are what? Being renewed day by day. Past, present, or future. That's present. Day by day, every day I get up, his mercies are new what? Every other weekend? Every third month on the fourth year of the decade? No. Every morning. Every morning, His mercies and His grace is new for us. You also can say, I am going to be saved. How many of you think that somewhere in the rest of your life you might walk into some trouble? You might mess up. You might not be obedient. You might miss and not obey the voice of the Holy Spirit within you. I hope not. I pray for myself and for you, hope that that's not be true, but it's possible. Look at 1 Peter 1, verse 3. I'm going to read you three verses here. Praise be to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, that in His great mercy He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And verse 4. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept where? In heaven. Do you have it yet? No. What is it talking about? It's talking about the future. It's talking about the return of Christ. The Bible says He is our salvation. The Bible, He's now seated at the right hand of the throne, waiting for God to tell Him, okay, go. Go get Him. I personally think Jesus is like waiting to go. He's in the box. He's ready. He's raring to go. But the Bible says that God in His grace and mercy is also very patient because He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Because there will come that day, the zero hour, the zero line, where the Bible says from here, sorry, it's too late. And that God's holding and patient and sending us to do work and sending us to invite people and sending us to bring people, sending you guys into the high school to begin to draw people in because He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. It says, this inheritance in verse 4 is kept in heaven for you. Look at verse 5. Who through faith are shielded, that's us, by God's power, until when? Until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, that's God looking at Jesus the Son going, okay, go. Go get your brothers and sisters and bring them back with you. That's the salvation that's coming. So we see we have past, present, and future. So if salvation is past, present, and future, and we live in the middle of a process. We live in the middle of something that is ongoing. Meaning this, as long as you live in this, there's always something to work on. It's the cornerstone and the foundation behind what you see on the door when you hear me say one step. For everybody in the room, I don't care how spiritual you are, how long you've been saved, how many gifts of the Spirit you think you have or you've used, or how righteous you feel, or how you can fast for 21 days with no food and just drink water. That's great. But the Bible's very clear. All of us have one step to take. One step closer from where we are to where? To where God wants us to be. Going toward that standard. The fullness of the measure of Christ. That's our standard. Jesus set the bar not high. He set the bar perfect. See, high to me is anything above 5'10". I'm 5'10". So if it's 5'10 and a half, 5'11", 6 foot, it's high. That's not a relative measure for us. He set the bar at perfect. He lived perfectly, and that's the standard. So I want to give you two things real quick to start 2015 with, and we're going to come back next week, and I'm going to give you two more. We're going to kind of build on these through the month of January and as we're going through our 21 days of prayer. You see, the devil's strategy, I'll let you in on a little secret here. For those of us who are saved, your eternity is secure. Your eternity is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name, when God opens the Bible and says, okay, there's Tammy Sim, yep. And then there's Nick Price, and there's Monica, and there's Herschel, and Daniel. Okay, you're all okay. Good. That's the ticket in. That's your eternal security. So the devil's strategy is way beyond just trying to, he can't take your heaven away from you. But he can throw the temptation. Temptation is the fight the devil uses to get you to do this. And this is your first one. Abandon the process. Don't abandon the process. Teenagers, young people, you're walking through a process even now. Don't abandon the process. What do I mean by that? This is one of the most aggravating things for me as a friend and as a pastor. It's just because I see it year in and year out. This is the, I come, whether you've been saved or you get saved, and you come, you charge in, and I'm here, I'm gonna get in church 101, I'm gonna go through 201 and 301 and 401, and I'm gonna be on the dream team, I'm gonna serve, I'm gonna do this. And we make it about 6 months, and then we just, because the process begins to require some more of us. It's the same line of thought as I can't require of my kindergartner what my fifth grader is required to do. And once we go through kindergarten and first grade and we begin to go up and God begins to require some more of us to change us and to begin to work with us, we abandon the process. And I'm sure somewhere in your mind right now you can go to a place where God begin to work on you and he begin to change you. And then he gets to that sensitive area. And we, whoa, wait a minute. No. God, you can have all of this and you can be involved in this area of my life, but not this. And what does it cause us to do? Abandon the process. Because we don't want to go through a process. I said this last year, and I've never had anybody take me up on this offer, and I've said it for 4 years in a row. This will be my fourth year. If you start 2015... And get into the process. Here at Believers, if this is your home, then get into the process. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you here. Go through Church 101. Go through Essentials 201, Discovery 301, and Dream Team 401. Let us help you walk through the process of discovering what it is you were created to do. What's your purpose? Get in a grow group. When we start the grow groups back, they'll start at the end of January. Get in a grow group. Be faithful to it. Get on a dream team. Join the ushers, the greeters, the audiovisual, the nursery, the children's church. We'll find some. Some of you just love to cook and bake and go show people love. We got places for that too. Get in the process. Don't abandon the process. But I make you this promise. If your life is not 180 degrees better by the time we hit December 2015, we'll go find another church together. We might as well just shut it down. We blame God. We blame the church. We blame everybody else for the things in our life, but we won't stick with the process. There's no doubt in my mind that and it's something I want to do, I just haven't figured out how to make myself do it yet, to start running more and exercise. And I see all these people, you know, I'm trying to fall Cammy around. She's running like ridiculous times. And I passed her running in the rain the other day. It was pouring down rain. Those 3 days, she never stopped. Running through town in the rain. Just as happy as a lark. Her little bells jingling on her feet. See, she's not abandoning the process. And I have no doubt in my mind that if I started the process and kept it going through a year, I could run right there beside her. That I would be lean and mean and in shape. But I can't do that running the first Monday of every month, which is what some of us do with our Christian life and our spiritual walk, or learning to listen to the voice of God. You can't do it going to church the first Sunday of every month. I'm sorry if that hurts, but it's just the truth. You can't be familiar with the voice. You can't get fed. You can't, if you're not in a group where you can have somebody that you're accountable to and that can speak into your life and you can share your life, if you're not willing to give God any significant commitment of who you are, it's not going to change. You're not in the process. This is not in your notes, but in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, says that no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. In other words, this is the put up or shut up. Because there's nothing you can come up with that's not already been dealt with. You may change the time, you may change the circumstances, but whatever you've dealt with, going through, whatever I'm facing, somebody's faced before me. And the Bible even says about Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that he was tempted in every single way that we have been. And I believe that the Bible says also about Jesus that he is at the right hand of the Father. He is our what? Intercessor. In other words, he's telling God, hey, yeah, I remember when I was down there and you made me go be a human. Yeah, that was no fun. Don't want to do that again. But just so you should know, God, because you're perfect, this is hard for them. Can you show them a little grace here? Help them out. Because the Bible says that Jesus was fully man and he understood and he was tempted in every way, yet he did not sin. Why? Because his standard was perfect. It goes on to say, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted. I know we throw this scripture out all the time. He's not going to tempt me more than what I can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Sometimes your enduring is doing this. Let me say this to you guys. Let me say this. If you're single, let me say this to you. If you walk into a relationship and you know it's not right, here's your way out. You ready? Are y'all ready? This is deep. This is costing extra. You need to take up another offering just for this. Are you ready? Run. Run. And for you teenagers, text them. Run. If you don't want to text them, bring me the phone. I've done it before. Last year, a guy came and said, I can't break up with my girl. I can't do it. I said, hand me your phone. He said, okay. He didn't think I was going to know what I was going to do. He threw me his phone. I said, what's her name? He's like, Sherry. Okay, Sherry. This is her. Wow, y'all been texting some stuff you shouldn't be texting. Let me help you. I'm done. Goodbye. Send. There you go. You're broke up, buddy. He's looking at me like, what did you just do? We just broke up. See how easy that was? Run. See, God says, I'm going to provide you a way out. Sometimes we want this big spiritual answer. We want to have a big spiritual moment. And we want a prophecy. We want to fall on the floor. Or we want this great revelation. Sometimes the thing I love about the Bible is it's very simple. Run. Leave. Sometimes it is God being in very specific steps. Begin this process. You want to get out of debt? Start tithing. It seems very counterintuitive. You want me to give more so I don't go in further in debt? Yeah. I'm not asking you to understand it. I'm asking you just to let the process have its way. Let the truth that is God's heaven, the truth that is him, have its way here in your life. Don't abandon the process. In 1 Corinthians 58, it says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. I still say this, and I will stand by this. This is not to get money. This has nothing to do with the church income, but I say this. If you're not tithing, you're not standing fully. I'm sorry. It's just what the Bible said. Don't hate me. It's right here. It's in the Bible. I can show you it from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. You're not giving God fully. Stand firm, and standing is giving him full. Full for a lot of us is, I'm full, but don't mess with my money. Stay out of my pocket. Get out of my PayPal. You can't know. No. But fully says, look what it goes on to say. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor for the Lord, or in the Lord, is not what? Some of you need your process and you getting back in the process. You need to understand that all these years you've been giving, all the years you've been praying for your son, your daughter to come back to God, all these years, some of you have been praying for Sylvania for 30 years. And the thing that hurts my heart is people that pray for 30 years, and because it doesn't happen when they want, how they want, doesn't look like the way they think it should look, it doesn't smell like they should want, they think it should, what do? They abandon the process. Because we don't see it the way I think it should be happening. Well, maybe God's got something different. If it were me, I wouldn't have come up with tithing. I would have come up with something different. But I'm not God. And God has, there's something in his principle in the process that it works. The second one, and we'll close with this. If you don't abandon the process, You have to stay in it. But when you do stay in it, you also have to allow the process to work. This is the thing that I think a lot of us don't really comprehend and grab about God. That's this. You can stop God dead in his tracks. For your life, you can choose, don't want anymore. You can choose, I'm done, not going to go any further. God, I'll give you this. Thank you for my salvation. I'm not going any further. You have to allow the process to work. You have to allow, there's something that we go through in 21 days in the next couple of weeks of letting the process go. For me, last year, I gave up all caffeine, all sodas, and drank nothing but water for 21 days. Now, that doesn't sound like much for you health nuts. But when you get to about a week and you go cold turkey with no caffeine and no sugar, every time I went to the gas station, there was everything within me. I could just stand there and eat in the candy bars right in front of the lady. I'll be done in a minute. I'll pay you for them when I'm done. Just let me eat. Or go to the Slurpee machine and stick my head, or go to the coffee machine. Because there had to be a process within me. And after about a week, after I had to patch things up at home because I was a bear, but I just determined I was going to let God have a process working in me. I had to allow it to work. You can choose. The Bible says we have free will. And you can choose to walk away. You can choose to make your own way. And God said, listen, I'm not going to force you. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians 3, verse 16. It says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, God himself will empower you with the inner strength through what? Through his Spirit. Notice a capital S. That's God putting his Spirit. Listen, you can't do this. And the only way this process is going to work, because if the process was just complete, like we just got saved and the project was done, we wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. We wouldn't need to be taught, because we just say, God, I accept you, I'm saved, and then we'd just be perfect and it would be over. But it's not just the way it happens. So I'm going to give you my Spirit. I'm going to put me inside of you. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. In other words, he's going to be here with us as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down. Here's the roots again. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Look at skip to verse 19. May you experience the love of Christ, even though it's too big for you to understand. As much as you think you understand, there's more that you don't even have revelation of yet. We can't even grab it yet. So it's bigger than we can even think. Then you will be made complete, what? With all the fullness of life and power that comes from where? Notice it says comes. It's a process. You have to allow God to work the process. You have to be willing. You know, sometimes I was talking with somebody the other day who had been in jail and been in prison several times over, and he's a guy in his 40s, and he's about to actually get out. He was a trustee I bumped into as I was working with the public safety guys. He said, I'm about to get out. And for some reason, all the inmates, when I'm around them, the trustees, they call me preacher. He said, preacher, I figured this out. It took me 15 years of being incarcerated to figure out there's a process. I have to allow and allow the process of paying my time. I have to allow the process of not doing the things I want to do, letting somebody tell me what to do. But it was a process. And it's taken me 15 years. God's been in prison for 15 years. And they said, I just realized I started reading I think it's the Chuck Swindoll, The Daily Bread. And I just began to let God just put in me what I need, take out of me what I don't need. Put in and take out. He goes, for the last 5 or 6 years, every day, in prison, I've been reading this daily bread. What is he doing? He's allowing the process to work. The change for good comes when we allow the salvation that is ours, instantly, eternity, but the past, the present and whatever lies in our future, that we have the grace and mercy of God is still coming. It's a process. If you get knocked down, you fall off the horse, you mess up, the great thing about God is, he says what? Just, you go to God, say, God, I repent, I'm sorry. And you keep going. You get back in the process. He doesn't make you like return to zero. The Bible says he just, that his grace and mercy is new. He remembers your sins no more, and he keeps you rolling. This scripture is not in your notes, and let me close with this. It's 1 John 5. And this is out of the Message Bible. I just love the way this read. Look at this. This is what the process is doing. Every God-begotten person, in other words, every person who has given their life to God, given their life and accepted Jesus, conquers the world's ways. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is what? Is our faith. Faith is a process. Do you believe now, for those of you who have been saved for quite a while, do you believe in some processes of God that you didn't 5-10 years ago? There are things God's done in you that he cemented to you in the faith of your walk, in the faith of who he is? That the person who wins out over the world, over the world's ways, is simply the one. Look how simple. I love the simplicity of the gospel. It doesn't have to be complicated. Who wins out over the world's ways is simply the one who believes what? Jesus is the Son of God. Just for a second, every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to think about this. Jesus had to go through a process. He was fully God, sent to earth in the form of his Son with Christmas. We just celebrated. But he had to go through a process. He had to be born. He had to live 33 or so years. He had to grow up. He had to be disciplined by his mother and father. He had to go through the process. He had his ministry years. Then he had to go to the cross. Then the Bible says he had to go to the very pit of hell. Then he had to be resurrected again. And then come back to earth and then taken to heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father. Even Jesus, even our Lord and Savior, had to follow God's process. Today, I want to charge you, but before I charge you and bless you and send you on your way, I'm going to ask what I always ask. If you need to return to Christ, return and start the process. Get back in the loop. Get back in the process. Or you need to say today, Clint, I need to start this process for the first time. I need to just believe, and I need to confess, and I need to get in the process and start the game today. And if you fit one of those two, just real quick, just me and you and God, then just wave at me. Anybody else? Let's just pray this together. There's a couple that raised their hand. Let's pray this with them. Say, Lord Jesus, oh, come on today. It's football season. You're screaming louder than that. Lord Jesus, today I'm home. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Wipe me clean and help me start over. Help me work the process and help the process work in me. I confess it with my mouth. And I believe it in my heart that you are my Savior, the Son of God who died for me. And I receive you now in Jesus' name. Amen. See, you're in the process. Now remember, don't abandon the process, and you have to allow the process to work. You have to be engaged. You have to be forward moving. For those of you who have been saved for a while, get back in the process. Stop picking and choosing what you're doing and just take all of God and let's go do this. That when we come back next week, it'll be January the 4th, 2015, that we engage in the process. And the process is going to do a couple of things for us. It's going to continue to grow us. That I believe in the this is not a thus saith the Lord. God didn't just speak to me in a, I just believe it in my heart because I know the process works. That when we as a church family, we as a as individuals begin to buy into the process and follow it, there's nothing else that can happen other than growth. And growth doesn't mean growth just for growth's sake or money's sake. Growth means that there's going to be souls who are otherwise going to hell who, beginning next week, will come meet Jesus because we decided to get serious about the process. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand with me if you will?